Okay, so we have 1 Kings 19, and we have the story here after Elijah had gone to Mount Carmel, and he had that great fight with all the prophets of Baal. You know the story. He calls down fire from heaven, and there's this great victory, and you have Elijah. He's looking now to the nation of Israel. Will they turn back to God? Will they all repent of their pagan ways after they've seen God's power come down? And we see that it doesn't go exactly the way that Elijah wanted it to go. Sometimes we have expectations. What do we do when our expectations are not met? Here's Elijah. He's a prophet of God. He was dedicated. He fasted. He prayed. And he was standing in the gap. And yet he had some expectations of God that were not met the way that he wanted. And what do we do with that? And there's a biblical principle that I want to point out. We're going to look at a few different passages this morning. We'll look at Elijah, something that I want to point out at the end of this story here. Let's read down in verse number 8. So Elijah, he's ran off into the wilderness. He's gone under the juniper tree. God has... he's told God, I don't want to live anymore. I just want out of the ministry. I don't want anything to do. The people are not turning back to you. I just want to be done with life. And I know for sure there are Christians that get discouraged sometimes. Even the greatest Christians can have doubts. We're going to look later in the morning message about John the Baptist a little bit. Here's the man that at the end of his life, he questioned, Lord Jesus, is it you? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest Christian that has ever lived. And yet he had some doubts. And here Elijah, he's doubting himself a little bit, doubting what God is doing. And we see in verse number 8, and he arose. And he arose and did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I, and even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake the pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I want to point out something this morning, too. Let's not forsake the day of small things. God has something for all of us to do. And Elijah is being taught a valuable lesson here. Firstly, I want to point out that God is interested in small things. Philippians 2:6 says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The greatest example we have of someone in the Bible humbling themselves is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, God in the flesh, came down, humbled himself, became small, if you would. He humbled himself for us. Jesus humbled himself. God is interested in small things. Elijah, he had these expectations. God, I think I know how to fix this problem in my life. I know how to fix the problem in our country. And God, you're going to have to do it like this. You're going to have to send down fire, earthquakes, and wind, and you're going to have this great showing of power, and this is how you're going to fix everything. And isn't that the way we look at our lives? If it's not bigger, it's not good. And God, you have to do these great, huge miracles. And you know what? God does do miracles, but there are some times when God speaks in a small, still voice. Elijah had some expectations about the way God should do things. And it's not very American to say, let's do something small in our country. If we want something, a business, of course, we want it to grow. We put out big promotional ads in the Philippines. When we first got there, if you've ever been to the Philippines, you go out of the airport first, it feels like here, actually. And you'll see these huge billboards. They're just huge. And everyone's trying to sell their product. It has to be bigger. It has to be better. They have the ads. And in our world, if we want something to be good, it has to be big. And yet we see here that God says in verse number 11, there was this great display of power, but God said, Elijah, I'm not in those things right now. I'm going to come to you in this way. I'm going to speak to you in a still, small voice. I believe when we come into church, we would experience a revival in our country, really. If we'd come into the church with the attitude, Lord, I've come to worship you, and I've come to listen for that still, small voice. Lord, just speak to my heart. Lord, I don't need all the big show. We have churches now that are like big concerts, and man, I go to church for the experience. I want things to be nice. I want to feel good after. I want that big experience. What if we came to church, just, Lord, just speak to my heart today. I just want to obey you today. And that still, small voice, Lord, if you just speak to me, that would be good enough. I don't need this great display for everyone to see. Lord, I'm just going to humble myself today. Just speak to me. We see here in the book of, we'll go to a couple different places, but we see here that Jesus made himself a smaller by taking on flesh. Elijah was taught here that God is sometimes working in the small things. Is there something small that God has given you, small in our eyes? Is there something small that God wants you to do? Is there something that God wants you to be faithful in? God is interested in the small things. Number two, let's not despise small things. We see Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. We're just going to look at three different passages this morning, if we could. We have here this period of time, Israel had just been released from captivity. They're going back to Jerusalem, and they're going to build the temple of God. Of course, Solomon's temple has been destroyed. They're going to go back, and now they're going to build up the temple. And we have, there's three different phases of the of them leaving Babylon. We have Zerubbabel leaving the first wave of Israelites back to build the temple. And then we have, of course, in the book of Nehemiah, they're going to build a wall around Jerusalem. But I'd like to point out something here this morning. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 10. We'll just read a couple verses here. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. There was a generation in Israel that had remembered after these 70 years in captivity, they still remembered what the temple used to look like. Solomon's temple was beautiful. It was big. It was huge. And they remembered that, and they looked at the foundation for the temple that was going to be laid. Man, it didn't look like it had once looked. Sometimes, I know even in Christian circles, we can look at the past and think, man, if things aren't like that, that's not God's will. God's not in something that's smaller. It has to be bigger. It has to be large. And we see here that there is these, the Levites there just lamenting this new temple. Man, God cannot be in this little building. What they failed to realize was that the most important thing was that God's presence was there. God was going to be there in that temple. God was not disappointed in this smaller temple, We see in Zechariah 4, one of the prophets during that time has this to say. Zechariah 4, 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, therefore, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel hath laid the foundation of this. His hands also shall finish it. So we see here that the temple was going to be built. We go on, and then it says, And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Verse number 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole world. And so we see here that these Levites were despising this temple. And let's ask ourselves the question here from Zechariah, then verse number 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Is there something in your life that's small, maybe a ministry, maybe something you would say is insignificant? Maybe it's praying for someone. Maybe it's going and ministering to someone. Nobody will ever see what you do, and it's something that you despise, if you're honest. When we went to the Philippines, like all missionaries, we have great aspirations. We want to send back the prayer letters with thousands of people got saved, and we got this huge church, and everyone on the whole island is just turning back to God. We all want to send back those stories. And if you read the letters in the back, we like to put our numbers on there, and we want things to be big, and sometimes we can puff things up a little bit as if God was not in something that is small. We started out ministry. I remember the day we drove the girls to school, a new place. We were a little timid. Driving in the Philippines is a scary thing, okay? Getting back, driving in the States, everyone stays in their lane. This is so nice. And in the Philippines, it's kind of like water just flowing, and the motorcycles come in and out of cars. And the first week, we question, is this really going to work? Can we really do it here in the Philippines? But we remember, we came for the people. We came to minister to them. We drove the girls to school, and I remember seeing these kids run across the street. Every day we'd go to school and more kids would come out, and they were all different. There were so many children, and we thought, well, maybe we can go to these children. Maybe we can go to this place. The Philippines is an impoverished country. It is a country with a class system. You have a very, very rich upper class, and there's no middle class really. There is the majority of the country, the lower class, and people live in great, great poverty. You'll see some of the slides later. But we followed these kids one Saturday. We went there, and they're playing, and we gathered them up, and we started to talk to them. And it just started off with a few, and we thought, well, we'll just keep going to these children. And I thought, man, this is not the way I thought ministry would start, but we just started really, really small. And we were just faithful to these little children. And eventually, these children, they called their other friends, and more came out, and eventually we got to go back into the neighborhood. The government in the Philippines, they allocate areas of land for poor families. They call them squatter villages. And people go in there, and they will gather raw materials, some sticks, bamboo, whatever they can find, and they'll put up these little shacks that they call homes. And we went back in there. We went to this one family, and we started witnessing to one of the moms. The children led us to the mom, and every Saturday we would go there, and I was just learning Tagalog, and it was difficult for me, but I would go up throughout the week. I'd learn a couple of phrases, try to learn how to give the gospel in Tagalog, and I learned a few sentences. Next Saturday, I'd go back, and I'd tell her those next few sentences. She would say something back to me, and I have no idea what she said, but I know I said those sentences right. And we just kept doing that. And it was just small. It wasn't growing like I thought it should. And I thought, maybe we should go somewhere else. There's nothing here. But one Saturday, that mom and her children, started listening, and she said, well, you can come and you can do your Bible clubs here, right in our house. We like you guys coming. And so we came, and then all the neighborhood kids saw, and they came out, and the other moms came, and eventually some of those moms got saved. And it started to grow. If we had despised the day of small things, there would have been no growth. And it's not grown to hundreds and thousands of people, but we've worked with a core group in the Philippines, and God is blessed in that. And God had to teach us that lesson. Don't despise the day of small things. The island that we're going to, the island of Mindoro, the Philippines has 7,000 islands. There are many places that there are not churches. There are many places that are underdeveloped. And so we've looked at this island, but there's ministry there is just different. The pace of life is different there. We've looked at it and thought, well, let's just go in. We'll raise some money, and we're just going to build this huge church. Until one of the Filipinos there, he said, Pastor Tom, don't overspend us. We're not American. We don't understand big. We do things small. You know what? My wife and I talk, and we've come to the conclusion if we're going to have church under a tree, we'll just do it that way. We're just going to start small. It doesn't have to be big and huge for God to bless it. God is also in the small things. The most important thing we learn here from the story of the temple being built is that God's presence was there. If we have God's presence, that's all we need. It doesn't matter how big the building is. It doesn't matter if you meet under a mango tree, as long as God is there. God is in the small things. God was not, we see number three, God is not always impressed with the thing that is biggest. We see in Mark, we turn there, Mark 12, 41. We see the story of the widow woman who comes, and Jesus is sitting there in the temple, and he's in the outer courtyard there, and he's watching people put their money in. And we'll read in Mark 12, 41. I want you to look here. What are those things that Jesus notices? We'll see here in this story how that unfolds. And Jesus sat against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow woman and threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which were cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So imagine this. Jesus is sitting there. He's watching people give their offerings. And people are giving big things. And the temple there, it was like a big brass horn, and they would throw their money in, and it was loud. It was big. They cast in much, the Bible says here. But Jesus took special attention. When that widow came in and cast in her two mites, it was probably very quiet. It's probably kind of a small noise, but it was, in everyone else's eyes, a very small, insignificant thing. But that is what Jesus noticed. It isn't always the big things that Jesus notices. It's the faithfulness when we do those small things. Don't despise those small things that God has given you. Don't despise praying, even for missionaries. Well, we need it. We have experienced so many answers to prayers, and I just want to say this morning, thank you. Thank you for praying for missionaries. It really makes a difference. It's not a small thing. We see here in the next chapter what happens after this story in Mark chapter 13, verse 1. Now they get up, they're leaving the treasury, they're going outside the temple, and Jesus is there with his disciples, and it looks like maybe the disciples haven't quite got exactly the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach, Mark 13, 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. They're bringing Jesus to the temple to show him this great foundation that has been laid. Jesus, look at all these buildings. Isn't this great? Jesus, what you want is big. And if it's good, it needs to be bigger. Bigger is best. And we think that way. In our country, we think that way. What is Jesus? How does he respond? Have you ever wanted to share something with someone and you were so excited about it? And I remember one time, once a year, my girls will watch a black and white movie. There was one from 1957, and a real old movie. I'm just kind of, I have white hair, so I thought, well, let's watch the old movies now. And so we watched this, and I was so excited. I thought they were really going to get into it. After a few minutes, they're sleeping. And I was so excited, and I was so let down. And we see here, I can imagine the disciples. Jesus, look at this. We brought you to Jerusalem to see the temple. Look at how great and big and grand it is. God can use this because it's big. And what does Jesus say here? And Jesus answering said unto them, seest thou these buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus was not impressed. What we see before they left the temple, Jesus was impressed with the faith of that widow woman that gave the two mites. God is impressed when we are faithful in that which is small. Let's focus on doing small things right. How about witnessing? Let's be faithful to witness to people. Sometimes even as missionaries, we want to report those big numbers. And you know what? You can go to the Philippines and you can get people to pray a prayer. Filipinos, the culture, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Filipinos are agreeable. Filipinos, they will say things. They will answer you the way that they think you want them to answer. So if you want them to pray a prayer, they'll pray it because they believe that's what you want. And you can go around and you can get a whole bunch of false professions. But God is wanting us to be faithful in the small things. Be faithful to give the gospel in a correct way. Maybe it takes a person a little while to get saved. I'll talk about a person. I'll show some names and faces of people that have been saved in the Philippines. And some of it's very tedious ministry life. Day to day, it's not big and flashy. It's sometimes it can get a little monotonous. And then sometimes God will do something big, but it's not like that every single day. It's like with Elijah, sometimes God will do something big. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes only looking for those big things. God's only in the big things, the big miracles. God's not in it when I'm at home alone and just praying for that missionary. No, God is happy. God is pleased when we are faithful doing the little things. And we just need to be faithful doing that. So we see here Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we see the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, if we look at the whole thing, we oftentimes look, well, people need to get saved. That's true, they do. We look at the whole Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That takes some time. There's some little things that as Christians we have to do to disciple people. Little things. The island we're going to, there are indigenous people there. And one of the challenges that we faced, and maybe you could pray for us more specifically in this now that I've mentioned it, but there's a real problem with education. Many of the Filipinos, they don't, I'm going to call them katatubo. You'll hear me using that word, that just short for indigenous people. And they won't go to school. And the reason is, they'll say, what would I rather have in my hand, a pen or a machete? What will feed my family today, this pen going to school or this machete? I can chop down a tree, I can collect things, I can kill an animal. And so because of that, there's a great amount of illiteracy. So teaching them the Bible is all oral. So that's a challenge for us. In the years to come, there's going to be a lot of small things that we have to do to see God do something big. Let's be faithful in the small things. Is there something small that you would say is small this morning that you've forsaken? something that you, well, this is not important. Nobody sees me do this. I want to do something big for God. Let's be faithful in that which is least. Matthew 19:30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. God notices the little things. Every Saturday we thought, well, how can we be a blessing to these few children? And we saw this verse. Well, how about a cup of water? In the Philippines, they like soda. They don't get that. It's a treat for them, or pop, depending on what side of the country you're from. And in the Philippines is great. We would buy a 2-liter, and we buy these little bags, and we fill it up with pop, and we put a straw in there, we handed those out. And the kids loved it. And the kids remembered those things. They remembered the little things. They remembered someone loving them. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, don't forsake the little ones, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't forget about these little children. And so ministry for us, these past couple years, we've put a focus on the children, the next generation. And through that, we've been able to reach parents. But it's the little things we must do first. Church, if we want God to do something great here, and God is already doing great things here, it's great to see so many familiar faces and new faces. Let's be faithful to do the small things. Is there something small this morning that you have forsaken? Let's pick that up again. And let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we know that little is much when God is in it. Lord, help us to be faithful in that which is little in our eyes. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved this morning, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray for the Christians here. Lord, that we would be faithful in doing those little things that maybe no one sees. Lord, we know that's what you take notice of. Please help us. Help us, Lord, to not forsake those things. Lord, please meet with us this morning in the regular service, and even the children. Lord, we ask for your help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.